says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last, I'll say shofar, for the shofar shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Now, I love this picture there of these shoes just smoking away. You see that? Wow. Whoever was wearing those shoes left them awful fast. Thank you, Lord. You can go to the next slide. Today I'm going to be speaking about twinkling of an eye, as we just read that from the scripture. And Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray as we are approaching Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of the trumpets, known in modern times as Rosh Hashanah, the head of the new year. Lord, we are continuing to believe that you're going to do a fresh and a new thing in our lives, O God. And as that day also speaks of the resurrection, it speaks of the what's known also, Father, is the taking away of the body. Some say rapture, O God. We thank you, Lord, that Yeshua is coming back for his faithful. And we look forward to that day when we'll be in your presence. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let me share a little illustration here. While on a South Pole expedition, British explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton left a few men on Elephant Island, promising that he would return for them, that he would come back for them. Later, when he tried to go back, there were huge icebergs that blocked the way, but suddenly, as if by a miracle, an avenue opened up in the ice, and Shackleton was able to get through, and his men, ready and waiting, quickly scrambled aboard. No sooner had the ship cleared the island than the ice crushed together behind them. And contemplating their narrow escape, the explorer said to his men, "It was fortunate you were all packed and ready to go." And they replied, "We never gave up hope. Whenever the sea was clear of ice, we rolled up our sleeping bags and reminded each other, the boss may come today." With Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets just around the corner, coming very soon, coming this week or next weekend, and the belief, and I believe the belief that Yeshua, our boss, may return on some future Yom Teruah, on some future Day of Trumpets, I want to speak today on the body of Messiah being taken away. Because I believe this is also a theme of this time of the year as well. The body of Messiah, that's us, the faithful in Yeshua, being taken away. Of course, you know, I'm referring to the Christian term rapture. And although it's not specifically mentioned by that name, and it's not specifically mentioned by that name in the scripture, believe me, it's more than alluded to in the Word of God. More than. But you know, the first question that comes into every one of our minds is, what is the rapture? There's people here today that, you know, they've heard people mention that, but really, what is that? What does it mean to be taken away? What does that actually mean? You know, that term, taken away, or the rapture of the body of Messiah, is probably one of the most compelling prophetic events in the scripture. And yet some people claim that it's not taught in the Bible because you never actually find that word rapture in scripture. You only find it in the Latin Vulgate. but you don't find it really in the scriptures. But you know, that's a very poor argument. However, there are actually several words not found in the Bible that describe doctrines which none of us would argue about are not taught in the Bible. For example, the word Trinity or the triune nature of God. Do we find that anywhere in the text of Scripture? Do you find that word, the triuneness or the Trinity, that triune nature of God? You don't find it anywhere, but it's very obvious that there is a Father, that there is a Son, and that there is a Ruach, that there is a Spirit. It's there, although it's not taught in the Bible. How about the word homosexual? Do you find it anywhere in the Bible? But the Bible clearly teaches that a man is forbidden to lie with another man as he lies with a woman. But the scripture clearly talks about it, doesn't it? It's plain, it's clear. The meaning behind it and the teaching is obvious. In fact, the Bible is often made simple enough that even, and I hate to say, fools can understand it, as that's how clear that is written for all of us. And just because words like Trinity or homosexual or the rapture don't appear in the text doesn't mean the Bible is silent about these things. Because the Bible is very clear and very loud about all of these things. Likewise, that word, as I mentioned, to be taken away is what it really means. But rapture, as we know, is not found in the actual text of the Bible, but it doesn't mean that the scripture is quiet about it in any way whatsoever. It actually describes the future event quite clearly. It's taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, provides us with most of the available details. So let's turn. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. So get out your phones, your tablets, get out the actual written word, whatever you have. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And this is what it says. Now we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and that Yeshua or Jesus rose again, so with him God will also bring those who have fallen asleep in Yeshua. For this we tell you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall in no way precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the blast of God's shofar, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Then we who are alive, that's you and me, if we are alive, who are left behind, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be with the Lord always. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, again, it may not say that word, rapture taken away, but by golly, what does this scripture say? This scripture to me is, that's some of the southern, since I've been here in Florida. By golly, it's just coming out. But, you know, if we put this in simple terms, the rapture of the body of the Messiah is when believers will be taken out of this world to meet the Lord and Redeemer in the air. It's when Yeshua comes to take his faithful home. Jennifer Rast of Contender Ministries describes it this way. The rapture refers to the sudden removal of all of God's people on the earth. In the twinkling of an eye, born again believers will suddenly be transformed out of our human bodies and will rise up into the air to join Yeshua, the Messiah. Now, do I understand this? No. These are things which are hard to understand, But the scriptures still speak very clearly about him. You know, our text says that when Messiah calls his children out of this world, it says, the Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the blast of God's shofar. You know, some have translated this passage to mean that the archangel Gabriel will blow his shofar, and everyone on earth will look to the heavens to see Yeshua and watch as he takes away the true believers home. I don't know if it's going to happen that way or not. The scripture isn't that specific about it. But it does give us enough information that we can get a bit of a picture of what is to come. First, it says that the shofar is blown, and the Lord himself descends with a shout. So we can safely assume that we will hear both the shofar and our Messiah's voice calling to us. But will every human being on earth hear the call, or just the believers? You know, I don't know for certain. However, in John chapter 10, verse 3, it says that the sheep, or the body of the Messiah, hear the voice of their shepherd, hear the voice of Yeshua. It says the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So maybe only believers will hear the call of Messiah and the sound of the shofar calling us home. I don't know for sure. Next, you know, the passage tells us that the dead in Messiah is going to rise first. This means everyone who was a believer in Yeshua, the Messiah, but has already died before this taken away experience happens, will be first to join the Messiah in the air. Why? I don't know. I only know that this is what the Bible teaches us. Someone once jokingly said that it was because they had 6 feet farther to go. So that's why they were first. Again, I don't know. In any case, these words assure us that we will be reunited with our loved ones. That's a hope we have, Penny, that we'll be reunited with our loved ones, reunited with your dad. We have that hope. Thank you, Lord. With our loved ones who have passed on before us. You know, next our passage says that those who are alive and remain will be caught up with them. So any person, anyone here in this room who has accepted Yeshua as their Savior, as their Redeemer, but has not yet experienced the physical death at the time of this taking away, will be taken out of this world. That means that some of us present here today in this room may never have to experience physical death. Can you believe that? You may never experience physical death. Isn't that incredible, that thought? It's incredible. It says that we will be caught up with the dead in the air. That means that we will be visibly united with the Messiah and all of our loved ones. Notice also that Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says that we will meet them. Where? We're going to meet them in the air. When Messiah returns to earth and rule and reign, he is going to physically put his feet on this earth and rule the kingdom that God has prepared for him since the world began. And that event is what's called the second coming of Yeshua, the Messiah. But it shouldn't be confused with this rapture, this taken away, which we're talking about today. At the rapture, as we call it, and I quote it, I say rapture. Some people say, I was having a conversation on the rabbi's forum, and the IMCS we're part of, and of course some of them don't like to use the word, so they say the zapture, where you're zapped away, the zapture, okay? Thank you, Lord. So at the zapture, or the snatching away. You know, that word really is translated not just taken away, but snatching away. We're going to be snatched away from this earth. You're going to be walking. Go back. Who's back there? Go back one slide. Go back a slide. You know, we'll be walking. You know, I'm walking. Yes, indeed, and I'm talking. You know, we're going to be walking like that. And whoosh, snatched away. Who knows? But I love this. The shoes are smoking. They're still in mid-step. You see that? Just leave that up there. Oh. It says that during that time, Messiah meets us in the air. He never sets his foot on the earth at that point. That's how we know that the rapture, this snatching away, is not the same event as Messiah's second coming. We believers will see him at the snatching away of the body of Messiah, but I'm not so sure that the rest of the world will. We just watched, Josh and I and Irene, we watched the old movie, A Thief in the Night, from the 1972. I think it was 72. Watching that movie. But let me tell you, I saw it when I was a young believer too. And to me, you know, being a young and, let me say, dumb believer, I didn't know hardly anything. I was kind of scared, you know, when I saw the movie. So we watched it a week or two ago, and I couldn't believe how hokey it was. I mean, when I say hokey, I'm saying hokey. It was, wow. It was no Cecil B. DeMille. It was not. It was no Ten Commandments. But in its day, it was effective. It was. But I'm not sure the rest of the world, in that movie, the rest of the world didn't see. The guy was at the sink shaving with an electric razor, and there it was, an electric razor in the sink, and he was gone. You know, and people driving their cars, and they're gone, and the cars crashing, and planes crashing, all that kind of thing. But I don't know exactly how that will be. I'm not sure. Whereas, you know, his second coming, we're told, every knee will bow before him and every tongue shall confess that he is Adonai, or he is Lord. In 1 Corinthians, and you can turn there as well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 52 it says, or actually Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, unveils a little bit more information, a little bit more here, about this future event, which he calls a mystery. And it really is a mystery, because I don't understand it, you don't understand it, but God knows. And it says in 15, verse 50 in 1 Corinthians, "Now I say this, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And what decays cannot inherit what does not decay. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." A twinkling of an eye. Oh, it's this scripture right above me here. Twinkling of an eye. "At the last shofar. For the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed." Now, this mystery concerning this snatching away, this rapture of the body of Messiah, and the transformation of believers was revealed primarily to Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. It's not mentioned anywhere else in the first covenant of Scripture or even by Yeshua. However, the man Enoch, remember Enoch? Oh, and by the way, I heard that Enoch is showing up again next week, that he's going to be here. Not the Enoch in the scripture, but this other guy, Enoch. I hear somebody told me, maybe it was a little bird, but he's going to be here next week. Okay, yeah. I hope he doesn't lock you up like he did before. But anyway, but the scriptures tell us here that the man Enoch in the first covenant, in the scripture in the Torah, it provides an illustration of this transforming experience. The Bible says in Genesis 5:24 that Enoch was taken from this life. It says that He walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. All right? He just zapped. He was just taken away. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, it explains this event even more clearly. It says, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. In other words, Enoch did not die. He was simply taken out of this world alive. One minute he was here, the next minute he was wherever in paradise, wherever. He never experienced physical death. So we have an example of that taking place here, don't we? Perfect example of it. You know, we also have an example of Elijah. Remember Elijah? He was taken away in what? What was it, Donnie? Taken away in a chariot of what? Fire. He was taken away in a chariot of fire. He didn't experience death either, did he? No, he was just taken away. So we have precedent for this experience that we're talking about as believers in the Messiah, Yeshua. And a day is coming when all believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, will be taken out of this world just like godly Enoch and just as Elijah. One second we'll be here on the earth in our physical bodies. The next second we'll receive an incorruptible body that was made to fit our new home that God has prepared for us. As he says in John 14, Yeshua has gone to prepare a place for us. And if he's gone to prepare a place for us, it says that he will come back to take us so that we will, where he is, we shall also be. The scripture says that. Thank you, Lord. Again, Rosh Shaul, Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, when this corruptible will have put on incorruptibility and this mortal will have put on immortality. So this snatching away, this taking away, this rapture then is not only for those believers who are alive at the coming of the Messiah, but also includes all believers from all the ages. This is a confusing teaching, isn't it, to some? It's a mystery. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we're taught that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Doesn't that mean that all believers who have died are already in heaven with God? How then can they rise first? Are they still in the grave awaiting this snatching away, this rapture? And all, those are great questions, aren't they? And the answers aren't that difficult when you realize that a man is a threefold being. Man is made with a body and a soul and a spirit. Our souls and spirits are eternal. They will never cease to exist. And when our physical bodies die and they're put into the grave, our souls and our spirits do enter into the presence of the Messiah because they were changed and made acceptable for heaven at the moment of our salvation. But what is exciting is that at this snatching away, at this taking away, this rapture of the body and Messiah, our physical bodies will also rise again. And that's what Rosh Shaul, Apostle Paul, is saying in 1 Corinthians. That's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. You know, when Yeshua rose from the dead, he didn't come back just as a spirit, did he? No, he came back physically as well. After his resurrection, he told his Talmudim, his disciples, to touch him, as he did Thomas, touch. Put your fingers in the hole in my wrist. Put them in my side. You know, I'm not a ghost. I'm real. Touch me. Feel me. He physically ate with them to prove that he wasn't just a spirit, but that he was physically alive and present with them on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. But his body wasn't totally the same as it was before his death and his resurrection. We find that he could walk through solid objects now. He could walk through doors and he could walk through walls. Remember, the disciples were waiting in a room after Yeshua's death. The Bible tells us that the doors were shut, and yet Yeshua appeared in their midst. We see that he could also be in one place 1 second and another place another second. They totally disappeared from sight, as he did when the two men from Emmaus recognized him in Luke chapter 24. Yeshua's resurrected body was definitely physical, but it was a body that was fit not only for earth, but also for heaven. So at the taking away, the snatching away of the saints, as we see above my head there, you too are going to receive a new body. There will be physical ones just like Yeshua, but they'll also be designed to fit into heaven. Rav Shaul says our corruptible bodies will become incorruptible, and our mortal bodies will become immortal. That's the mystery that he's revealing here. And when the Bible talks about that the dead in Messiah rising first, it is the physical bodies of the dead that are rising and being changed and transformed and reunited with their spirits and their souls. Our original text in 1 Thessalonians 4 even says that the souls of those who have died will return with Yeshua. Why then? Why so that they can receive their new incorruptible bodies? Let me tell you, that's going to be a great day. Amazing day. Not only will we leave this world behind, we will be in the presence of our King and our Redeemer. We will be united with our loved ones. We will go to live in heaven, and we will receive incorruptible, immortal bodies, bodies that will finally find its proper home for our immortal souls and our spirits. So now that we know what this taking away, this snatching away is, and what it looks like, somewhat, right? Let's try to understand, why is it necessary? Why? Why does the Bible teach that the Lord will snatch away, take away, rapture his people out of this world at a specific time in the future? Why doesn't he just let the world continue on as it has for thousands of years? Why is he going to come and take his children out? And why just his children? What about everybody else? And no, the answers to these questions can be found in several places in the Scriptures. Turn with me to Revelation, starting at chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Revelation 3, starting in verse 10. You all there? Revelation 3, verse 10 says, "Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "Yeshua, the one delivering us from the coming wrath." Romans 5:9 says, "How much more then, having now been set right by his blood, shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" 1 Thessalonians 5:2 and 9 says, "For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night." Verse 9, "For God did not destine us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. He died for us so that whether we may be awake or asleep, we may live together with him." So the God that we serve is a very loving God, a very patient God. He does not want anyone to perish or spend eternity separated from him. But he is also a righteous and a just God who will bring judgment upon those who reject him and reject his son. You see, a day of judgment is coming. A day of judgment is coming. God will not let evil and sin reign forever. He has promised to make all things right. That time is what is known as the tribulation period, or the time of Jacob's trouble. When is it taking place? I don't know. But just as he promised to judge those who have rejected him, he's also promised to save those who have accepted him. So this snatching away, this taking away, this rapture of the body of Messiah is to fulfill his promise to his children. We read in these passages that he will save his children from the wrath to come. That's why you're going to be snatched away, taken away to save you from the wrath that's going to come. He'll take his faithful out of this earth before he sends total judgment upon this earth. That's why this snatching away, this taking away, this rapture of the believers is necessary. And that's why we should look for it with great expectation and thanksgiving, because we don't want to have to face the wrath of God and that follows. Now, at that point, we can get into a whole bunch of eschatological, theological debate. You know, if you're pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib or the Chicago trib. I had to say that. I personally, me, not the scriptures, I have a right to give my thoughts, don't I? Me personally, I don't believe in a pre-tribulation snatching away. In other words, I don't believe that we're just going to be taken from this world and then all the wrath is coming. But I also don't believe post-trib, where it says, where it teaches that after all the 7 years of tribulation and all, that Yeshua then will come to take us away. So in other words, we've gone through all the wrath of the 7 years. I am the kind of, I'm a mid-trib kind of guy. I believe that the church, the body of Messiah today, is corrupted. I believe that the body of Messiah today is full of sin and error, immorality. I believe that the body of Messiah today is in shambles and it's a shame to the kingdom of God. I really believe that. So I believe that the Lord is going to prepare his bride by cleansing her. And I just believe it's, when I say mid-trib, the first, we talk about tribulation or Jacob's trouble, 7 year time period that's spoken of in Daniel. That I believe the body will go through 3.5 years of some tribulation to purify us, to cleanse us, so that we are ready to meet the groom. Now, when a woman in ancient Israel, a Jewish woman, is to get married, she goes through a purification process. She goes through a mikvah, a cleansing, a purification. And after she's been cleansed and purified, and she's now ready and she's now prepared for the groom, I believe the same thing, the church, the body, is going to need to go through that purification to get the bride ready for the groom, because the bride is dirty. I believe that. That's my opinion. I mean, you may be out there and feel totally different, that, you know, who knows? Who knows? It could be anything. But that's my, like I said, I'm a mid-trib kind of guy. You know, so, what? Yeah, well, it's all going to pan out. So the next question here is, when will this rapture, this snatching away, flying out of your shoes, whatever you want to call it, when is this going to take place? You know, Yeshua answers this question in Matthew 24, verse 36. He answers it. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels nor the Son, except the Father alone. So when is it going to take place? I don't know. Only the Father knows. Even Yeshua, even the angels don't know. So when you see crazy people out there, I remember 1988, 88 Reasons for Christ Coming in 1988, a book, you know, this, people went crazy, some people sold everything they had, lost everything. He didn't come. Jehovah's Witness said he was going to come in, was it 19, what was it, 08, 11, whatever, 04? What? No. Jehovah's Witness way back in the early 1900s. 17? Something like that. They said that he was coming back. They were all ready. He never did. I don't know when he's coming back. Nobody knows. It says right here, except the Father alone. Do Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Did you hear me? No one knows except the Father alone, not even Yeshua. Yeshua doesn't know when he's coming back to the earth. Only God the Father knows that. And many people have tried to predict the second coming of Yeshua, but failed in the attempt. God will come for his believers suddenly, at a time when we least expect it. I, again, personally, because I'm entitled to my position, I believe it's most likely based on Scripture that it's going to be during Yom Teruah, during the Feast of Trumpets, just because of what 1 Thessalonians says and 1 Corinthians says about the shofar sounding and this. But you know what? I'm a kind of guy that believes that. But we don't know. But God will come for his believers at a sudden time when we least expect it. For this reason, he instructs us. And that's what I taught 3 weeks ago in Elul about preparation. Then second one, Elul 2, about readiness. And last week about teshuvah, repentance. And today, in conclusion, before we reach Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, he instructs us to be ready. He instructs us to be prepared, be on our guard for his coming. As those around us turn their backs on God, worshiping themselves, worshiping other gods, or false prophets instead, we should be looking up. We should be looking up and expecting him to come. We should have our spiritual lives in order so that we might escape what is to come. Especially as we are now witnessing the beginning of birth pains. And buddy, let me tell you, the earth is moaning and groaning at what it sees. It really is. Just, a week or two ago, there were 50, 60 earthquakes along the Ring of Fire. And it was like, never seen that before. Strange things happening. Old Faithful, is that in Yosemite? Old Faithful is not so faithful. It's going kind of berserk a little bit there. Of course, the only faithful we have is God who is faithful. Amen? But we should get our spiritual lives in order so that we might escape what is going to come. Especially as we now witness, I said, these birth pains. God reminds us that we need to be in prayer constantly, be in prayer continually, so that we'll not be led down a false path and miss his coming. In the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 34 through 36, it says, "But watch out so your hearts are not weighed down by carousing, by strong drink, and the worries of life." Well, 2 out of 3 isn't bad. You know, I don't do any carousing, really. I don't do any strong drink, but the worries of life, you know, they get me. You know, I'm praying, thinking about retirement. You know, I'm worrying, Lord, can I? Am I going to have enough money? I'm going to be able to, you know, live in the way I'm used to. I'm not talking about luxury, but, you know, having a decent place to live and having, you know, food to eat and being able to pay bills and all that. I worry about those things. Joshua, yesterday, was talking to me about that, worrying. And he says, I need to stop worrying about those things. Just trust the Lord and stop worrying. And I said, well, pray for me. And he prayed for me. Because I worry about those things. What's to come? But he says, don't allow those things to weigh you down. Do not let that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come rushing upon all who live on the face of the earth. But stay alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things about to happen and stand before the Son of Man. You know, God felt it was so important for us to be alert and watch for his coming that he reminded us several times that we should be ready. Matthew 24, verse 42, it says, "Therefore stay alert, for you don't know what day the Lord is coming." Matthew 24:44 says, "So you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you don't expect." Matthew 25:13 says, "Therefore stay alert, for you don't know neither the day nor the hour." it is for our benefit that God didn't tell us that hour. It's for our benefit, the hour of His coming. It encourages us to live righteously as Messiah Yeshua may return at any moment. Jesus may come back at any moment. It encourages us as believers to work diligently for the souls of our friends and our family and the lost of this world. It reminds us that we have much work to do and may not have much time in which to do it. If there was ever a time to be an example and to share your faith and to make sure that everyone you know has heard that name Yeshua, it's now. It's now. It's this day. If there was ever a time, now is the time. You know, many believers are afraid to talk about this snatching away, this being taken away of the body of Messiah. You know, deep down they feel an excitement about the prospect of being snatched away in a twinkling of an eye to be with the Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, that they love and worship and have given their lives to. However, they fear, we fear, being labeled or criticized for a hope that many throughout the ages have had, a hope that God fully intended for us to have. God warned us against ignoring that hope that end times prophecy gives us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22 when He said, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." There's a reason Messiah Yeshua warned His followers 13 times in the New Covenant, the Brit Chadashah, to not be deceived and to watch and be ready. He wanted us to be excited about His glorious appearing. So let me ask you, are you excited? Are you excited about His glorious appearing? Are you prepared for His coming? Really, are you ready? Are you prepared? Don't just quickly say, "Oh, I'm ready, I'm prepared." You better make sure that you are prepared and that you're ready. Don't think just because you come to synagogue on Saturday or church on Sunday and because you read your Bible, you know, once in a while, or because you put a dollar bill in the offering container and things like that, that you're ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. But you need to be ready. You need to give your life fully, totally, and completely to the kingdom of God. You need to be that bride who has gone through cleansing and washing so that you're ready for the bridegroom when He appears at that blowing of the shofar. And if you are ready, then you can truly shout for joy. The Lord has prepared a place for us, and we will be with Him always. And that's something to truly be excited about. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we are excited about the things that take place, Lord, but it's also a scary thought. Because many of us are scared and really aren't ready. We think that we can get it right tomorrow. We can stop the sinning tomorrow, and whatever it is that we're doing, we can stop it tomorrow and we'll be fine. But Yeshua is going to come like a thief in the night at a moment you don't expect, at a twinkling of the eye. And don't let Him catch us unclothed and unprepared and unclean. So Lord, I pray that You would help us to be ready for that day, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Would everyone bow their heads for a moment? Just bow your heads. Just going to ask, close your eyes. Nobody look around, okay? I don't want anyone looking around.